All right, we'll be in Colossians this morning. Good to see everybody. Appreciate everyone, taking time to show up to church this morning. I know that obviously some people are unable to attend because of work or illness or other obligations that you may have, and certainly want to understand those things. But listen, I still think that it is wise making the choice to be in church on a Sunday morning when you can. Amen. I think it is one of the best things that you can do on a regular basis, one of the best things that you can do with your time, and it's one of the most profitable things that you can do with your time. Amen? So I want you to know that I do appreciate everyone for making that choice and choosing to be here this morning. But more importantly, I think the Lord appreciates you making that choice this morning. Amen? Open your Bibles, as I said, to the book of Colossians. Colossians, and the main text this morning is going to be Colossians 1:10, which happens to be one of my favorite verses. Colossians 1:10 says this. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning just for a chance to be in church once again. It is a blessing to be saved. It is a blessing to know that we have a God that created the universe and a God that loved us enough to come down here and sacrifice his own life on that cross for the forgiveness of my sins and for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. Lord, we're grateful that you did that. Pray that you might just help us to set aside the cares and the concerns of the world for a little while here this morning as we just think about the words of God. Lord, I pray that you would minister to the hearts of each and every individual that is here. You know certainly that I, in my flesh, cannot do this. But Father, you can. You know what each and every individual needs. You know where we're going. You know what your plans are for us. You know what our struggles are, our strengths and our weaknesses. And so, Father, we ask you to meet with us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've titled this message, Would You Like to Take a Walk? Amen? As a help to you this morning, I want to look at some of the physical and spiritual attributes of walking. It says in Colossians 1:10 that you might walk worthily of the Lord. Amen? As you know, we all know that taking a long walk on a beach is often cited as one of those romantic activities that everyone seems to dream of. I'll just leave that up there for a second while you look at it a little more carefully. The white part is the hat, in case any of you haven't gotten it yet. There's your long walk on the beach. How's that? But as you know, walking just about anywhere has shown to have great benefits for your physical body. Some of these benefits I know that you're well aware of. Some of them may surprise you. For example, did you know that, we all know that walking helps when it comes to maintaining our weight, right? Obviously, any kind of exercise, that's pretty basic, we know that. But did you know that it can also, scientists have studied this thing, and I'm assuming they kind of know what they're talking about at least a little bit. You know that it can counter-affect the genes that you may have in your body that are weight-producing or weight-promoting genes. Harvard researchers looked at 32 obesity-promoting genes in over 12,000 people to determine how much these genes actually contribute to body weight. Obviously, we know a lot of our build is genetic. Then they discovered that among the study participants who walked briskly for about an hour a day, the effects of those genes were cut in half. Interesting. You can be programmed one way and you can help counter-affect it. Another thing walking and exercise in general does is it helps to tame that sweet tooth. Right? A pair of studies from the University of Exeter found that a 15-minute walk can curb the cravings for chocolate and even reduce the amount of chocolate you eat in stressful situations. I don't know if that's an argument for or against walking. But nonetheless, it is one of the effects of walking. And it can also reduce the craving for sugary type snacks. Walking in general, exercise can ease joint pain. Several studies have found that walking can reduce arthritis-related pain. And walking 5 to 6 times a week can even help prevent arthritis from forming in the first place. Another thing with walking, just again, studies, that walking will improve your mood. They say that, a square of dark chocolate can blunt the edge when you're having a rough day. But going for a walk is a zero-calorie substitute that offers the same perk. Like I said, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but just 10 minutes a day can actually lift your spirits. Researchers have shown that, regular walking activity actually modifies your nervous system so much that you'll experience a decrease in hostility and anger. That's pretty good. Having anger issues? All right, go for a walk. Here's another thing they found out with walking. Walking boosts your brain power. The research is growing, but they did one study. They did brain scans of people that walk briskly for 1 hour 3 times a week and showed that the decision-making part of their brains worked more efficiently than people who attended educational seminars instead. You can get smarter by going for kids. Tell your mom, Mom, it's much better for me to go out and play than it is to stay home and study. That may come in. Sorry, Lindsay, where's that? walking, they say, creates or enhances creativity. Rather you're feeling stuck and you're working on a problem and you're trying to come up with a solution, it's a good idea to get out and begin moving. They say there's a study in 2014 in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, Learning, Memory, and Cognition. Whew, that sounds important. See my brain? They said that going for a walk can spark creativity. They administered creative thinking tests to subjects while they were seated and then other subjects while they were walking and found that walkers thought more creatively than sitters. All right, maybe there is something to going out and playing during the middle of during school. Walking can kickstart your immune system. These days we're all looking for ways to fend off COVID, and I'm not saying walking will cure COVID. Please don't misquote me on that. But it does. It does stimulate your immune system and helps produce more of those cells that attack pathogens in your body. Walking, they say, can also help relieve pain. Obviously, the stiffness, and then when you get out and you start moving, you warm up, your muscles warm up, the blood gets flowing, and your body temperature raises a little bit. It makes the easier for the muscles to move. But in addition, it can increase certain types of chemicals in your brain, known as neurotransmitters, which help your nervous system work more efficiently. And these neurotransmitters can help reduce pain. Now, the first few minutes of walking might be uncomfortable, which is why everybody quits. But if you keep at it and keep going, after 5 to 7 minutes, your body warms up and those neurotransmitters will begin to be produced, and it helps in managing pain. And finally, walking reduces stress and it helps fight depression. Aerobic exercise in general, and including walking, can help you feel more relaxed, reduce stress, and fight depression. And the reason why that works is it's related to the ability to reduce the levels of natural stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol. You exercise, and those things that keep you uptight will be reduced. They say that just a 30-minute walk is enough to lift the mood of someone who's suffering from a major depressive disorder. Interesting. I didn't realize it was that good for you. I knew it was good for you. I don't do it enough, but I knew it was good for you. In a 2019 study published in the official journal of the Anxiety and Depression Association of America found that 3 hours of exercise a week, no matter what type of activity, decreased the risk of depression in people who had already experienced feeling depressed. Just some benefits to walking, right? Now, I know what verse comes to mind when I start talking about walking. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Right? That's what you all think. Before we get into verse 8, I got stuck on verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And I've read that I don't know how many times, but I decided to look up the definition and find out what old wives' fables was. I just kind of rabbit, squirrel. I was in my office. An old wives' tale is a supposed truth which is actually spurious or a superstition. It can be said sometimes to be a type of urban legend said to be passed down by older women to a younger generation. Such tales are considered superstition, folklore, or unverified claims with exaggerated and or inaccurate details. Old wives, I'm going to get in trouble, I know, but I thought it was funny. Old wives' tales often center on women's traditional concerns such as pregnancy, puberty, social relationships, health, herbalism, and nutrition. I thought a couple of you would enjoy that. Let's go back to where we were before. While we're off the subject, at the age of 65, my grandma started walking 5 miles a day. She's 92 now. We have no idea where she is. All right. Let's read it again. I got stuck on verse 7, squirrel. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Right? Bodily exercise profiteth little. Here's how some of us use the Bible for convenience. That means I don't have to worry about doing it. What good is it? It has very little profit, right? You ever use that as an excuse not to work out? I have. No, it doesn't say don't do it. I mean, there is obviously a little profit from it. But most importantly, if by some chance you are guilty of using that verse to avoid working out, let me ask you this. Do you replace it with a serious effort to exercise thyself rather unto godliness? Okay, if you're going to skip the workout, read your Bible. Amen? How much... let's see. I've got another question for you. If all the physical things that we just covered about walking, just walking, if all those things are true, and I think it's pretty much well established that they are, right? If all those physical things that we just covered about walking are counted as little profit, now think about what we just covered. That's counted in the Bible as little profit. Reduced stress, better health, better immune system. We won't even talk about the chocolate. But if all those stuff in the Bible, and I believe the Bible, is counted as little profit, how much profit is there then when you exercise yourself unto godliness? Amen? That's the contrast in the verse. All those things we just read about are considered a little profit, but there is profit in them, and I would encourage you to be involved in them as much as you can, but in comparison, how much more precious and profitable is exercising yourself to godliness? Listen, if physical walking can impact the way your brain works, right? How much more can exercising yourself to godliness impact the way your brain works? Right? Well, here's one thing. I mean, godliness is a promise of being profitable in this life and the life to come, right? I know this. I mean, my physical exercise is only going to help me out at some level while I'm alive. Doesn't do me much good in the grave. But I tell you what, exercising yourself to godliness will help you now and after your death. Amen? Colossians 1:10 says this. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, what is that walk? Right? What is that walk? Well, a couple simple little things right there in the verse. I tell you, one of the things that walk is pleasing. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know what the Lord is pleased with? The Lord is pleased when you try to walk worthy. Amen? But how do you do that? How do you please God? Well, it's really pretty simple. There's obedience. You guys remember the story of Samuel and Saul, King Saul, when King Agag came in and Saul told Samuel, go kill him. Kill all the animals, kill everybody. And what did Saul do? He left King Agag alive and he left a bunch of the best choice animals alive, right? And Samuel told Saul in that famous passage, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Right? Well, pleasing. How do you please God? Well, you obey. In Ezekiel 10, the Bible says this. It says, now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure. And separate yourselves from the people of the land, from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. You probably remember the background in that story. The children of Israel had intermingled themselves with the children of the land, which is something that God had told them not to do. In other words, they had disobeyed. And Ezra's trying to straighten things out and straighten the temple out. And he comes out and tells them and basically says, hey, listen, you want to be pleasing unto God? Hey, obey. Do what he said to do. It's simple. That's well-pleasing to God. They had, again, taken those strange wives, and he said, hey, take care of the situation. All right, how do we please God? It's not as hard as we think. We just practice obeying what he said. Psalm 103:17 says this. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Amen? Amen? Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Listen, you want to please God, it's real simple. Pleasing God is equivalent to obeying God. Amen. How do you walk worthy? Well, one of the things you do is you just, unto all pleasing, you try your best to please God. Amen? A worthy walk is not only pleasing to God, but a worthy walk is, according to Colossians 1:10, it is fruitful. Let me ask you this. What fruit have you borne for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, think about that for a minute. What is the fruit? How do I know if I've borne fruit? I don't have time to get into all of it. I need to keep going. But how do I grow? How do I earn? How do I develop this fruit? Well, obviously, you know this. Winning souls is fruit, right? Everybody's aware of that. How many souls have you won to the Lord Jesus Christ? How many souls have you tried to win to the Lord Jesus Christ? But there's more than that. There's more than that. Take a look at Hebrews 13, if you will. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Here's just a couple of things. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I tell you, one way you can earn fruit, you can walk worthy of the Lord, be by being fruitful, by just simply praising the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By letting your lips talk about the heavenly things, the things of God. By having your speech such that it's where praise is natural speech to every tongue, the song says. Amen? Praising God is fruit. I'll run through a couple more because I see that time's going by. Another way, learning from your mistakes. How do you become fruitful? Well, you learn from your mistakes. Hebrews 12:11 says this, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." In other words, you live through life and you make your mistakes like everyone does. The Lord chastises you for it, and you're maybe just through conscience, your conscience pricks you. Maybe it's a little stronger than that, but you walk through that thing, and the idea is you come out the other side and you learn from that mistake. And that mistake then produces righteousness. You know what that is? That is fruit. You say, all I seem to do is mess up in the Christian life. Well, praise the Lord. If you learn from it, it's fruit. Amen? Okay. Continue on. Just learn from it. I'll tell you another way that that you can gain fruit. Sacrificing or giving of yourself. It says in Philippians 4:16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift," this is Paul speaking, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." How do I gain fruit? How do I have a fruitful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know what? I sacrifice of myself. I give to others. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Another type of fruit that you can gain on your account is a changed life. Amen? A changed life. Romans 6:21 says this. It says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" Talking about the old man. You know, the things you used to do. "For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness." I'll tell you what the fruit in a Christian's life is a changed life. The Lord gets a hold of you, whether it's, through the way you think, through the way that you act, through the way that you speak, all those things begin to work on you, and your life begins to change, and you find over time that, you know what, I'm not the same guy I was 10 years ago. Well, what is that? That's fruit. That's the fruit of a changed life. Amen? Fruit. We're talking about what is a worthy walk. Well, it's pleasing God. It's a pleasing walk. It's a fruitful walk, and it says in Colossians 1:10 also, it is a knowledgeable walk. How much do you really know about God? How much do you really know about the Bible? How much do you want to know? Well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a worthy walk, right? What is it? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those things make up a worthy walk. If you take a look at Colossians 1, go back to Colossians 1. If you go about those things and you manage to try to walk worthy of the Lord, listen, there's some things that'll be produced in that walk. In 1:11 it says, "You'll be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and to all patience." All right? You'll be strengthened. You'll have more patience, more long-suffering. You know what you'll have? You'll have more joy. What is that? That's the fruit of just simply trying to walk a worthy walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking worthy of the Lord. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of God. I'll tell you what you'll get by just trying to walk a worthy walk. You'll be made meet to be a partaker of the inheritance. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along too. But it says in verse 13, "Because he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Listen, there's a lot more to walking worthy for the Lord Jesus Christ than probably meets the eye. Right? You're strengthened. You'll gain in patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. You'll be made meet to be partakers of an inheritance. You'll get an inheritance. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. All of that, why? Because you got saved and you chose to walk a worthy walk. Would you like to go for a walk? All right? Would you like to go for a walk? That's really a simple question when it comes to the Christian life. So that is, you know, that is what the walk is, but why should you choose that walk? I'll tell you why you should choose that walk. In Colossians it says, who talking about God, why follow God at all? I mean, don't you have work to take care of? Don't you have a family to raise? Don't you have bills to pay? Don't you have to change the oil in your car? Don't you have to rotate the tires? Don't you have a whole list of things? Why choose that walk at all? You know what the biggest struggle that a lot of Christians have is just choosing that walk. A lot of times Christians know what the walk is. That's not hard. I mean, obedience is pretty simple. Everybody knows that. But one of the biggest struggles is, why should I choose it? Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, according to Colossians 1:15. By him were all things created, according to 1:16. He's before all things, according to verse 17. He's the head of the body, the church, according to verse 18. And it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. I tell you why we should choose that walk. Because Jesus Christ has been exalted. He's God, right? He's the head of the church. Jesus Christ, it says, has the preeminence in all things. The preeminence in all things. Why, you know, what is preeminence? Preeminence is lofty, it's high, it's above or before others, it's superior, it's surpassing. It's having paramount rank or dignity or importance. Why do I walk or try to walk worthy of the Lord in this life? I tell you why, because of who Jesus Christ is. Because he is God. Amen? Because he's worthy of that walk. Listen, I try to walk a worthy walk, and I'm not saying I do a great job, but I try. I try to walk a worthy walk because in this life, there is nothing more noble than following and serving and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Not even the Vikings or the Packers. I know that's hard to believe. Now, some of you may know this, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. In 1964, who was the starting center for the Oakland Raiders? All right, let's make it a little bit easier. Who was the starting quarterback? In 1964, see, I told you somebody would know. How about 1974? 81. 85. I try to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's my father. Amen? And in 1964, guess what? I know who my father was. Roger knows too. I know who my earthly father was, but I know who my heavenly father was. I know who my father was in 1974. I know who he was in 1981. I know who he was in 1995. I know who he was in 2004. Listen, things in this life change, brethren. And you see the point I'm trying to make. The people that we exalt really high now in 20 years, most people won't remember. But God is preeminent. God is always there. God never changes. God is always my Father. Why do I walk? Because God is always God. And it's one of the most noble things you can do on this with your life is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Other things are great. Don't misunderstand me. I've had plenty of fun pursuing plenty of other endeavors in life. And I've enjoyed a whole bunch of them. And I've gotten semi-proficient at a few of them. But when it comes right down to it, being a sixth degree black belt in the martial arts means nothing when it comes to eternity. Jesus Christ has the preeminence. Hey, I'm glad I pursued that. I'm glad I'm still involved in that. We had the grandkids over yesterday. You say, what good does it do to practice karate? We had our grandkids over, the girls over yesterday. And we have this little four-wheeler. It's like a 50. It's a little Polaris, and it's for the young grandkids. And Megan was driving me around, and, you know, she's old enough to be cautious. Well, we let Madeline drive it with me on the back, right? So Madeline's not old enough to be cautious, which is why we didn't let her drive it alone. So she's like, hey, I'm like, oh, wait, pull your hand off the throttle. Okay, listen, you got to slow down when you turn. Right? How many times do we tell them that? Slow down when you turn. Slow down when you turn. So we're out there driving the four-wheeler, and we're on a straight stretch in front of the house going down to the parking lot. I'm thinking, okay, she's doing pretty good, and she's kind of a daredevil. So she hits the throttle a little bit and gets going kind of fast, you know, down right over our driveway and then down to the dirt in front of the shop. Most of you that have been to my house, you know where that is. And we usually drove down to the end of that dirt area by where the tree is, where the driveway first comes up, and then she slows down, we'll turn around. So she gets over the driveway, and it's a straight shot, and she's got this daredevil streak in her, and so she hits the gas, and I'm going, and I took my hands off just trying to let her kind of enjoy driving it herself. And we're going straight, I'm going, okay, she can't do anything, it can't hurt. So she gets going a little fast, and all of a sudden she does this. Woo! While I wasn't holding on to the handlebars. Out of nowhere, out of the blue. It was a straight shot. We were going straight. There was no reason to turn. We weren't anywhere near the turn point. And she decides to just whoop. And when she did, that thing grabbed in and launched me off the back of that little Honda 50. I'm airborne. I am just, that just flung me right off. The four-wheeler tipped over on its side. She wound up right there on the side, crying, going, ah, I'm in the air. And I'm kind of looking back at her while I'm in the air. And you say, what good do some of these other pursuits do? Well, I hit the ground. It was a beautiful roll. You notice I'm still walking. I'm not limping. Yeah, I tucked. I did a dive roll. Brother Brian, you would have been proud. It would have been impressive. And I asked my wife, I said, did you get that on video? She said, no, I stopped the video before that happened. I'm going, man, that would have been a good one to show. So I'm glad, I better hurry. I'm glad that I pursued some other things in life, right? They come in handy on occasion when you least expect it. About an hour later, I'm walking through the house going, where did I leave my glasses? I check the bedroom, I check the bathroom, I check my desk, I check my chair, I check the table, I check the counter in the kitchen. Where? I walked out in the driveway. There they were. I found them. A worthy walk. Why? Listen, because he's my Father. And yeah, there are other things you can pursue in life, and they can be some great benefits of those other things. But when I think about what the Lord has done for me, listen, I would be a selfish dweeb. In the Greek, that means an ungrateful slob. I'd be a selfish dweeb if I didn't go out of my way to try to honor my Father, who has done as much for me as the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm not saying I'm really good at it, but I try to walk worthy of the Lord. Amen? Why? Because he is he has the preeminence. It says in verse 18 that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Yes, when I was sitting in class meditating, I prayed during meditation. Even in the martial arts. Why? Because in all things, the Lord Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. Amen? Imagine a father so full of love and compassion, and the child turns his back on him. After all the Lord has done for us. A child, son or daughter, who has no time for the Father. I've got my own life to live. I gotta pursue. Fill in the blank. Listen, who gave you that life? Who protected you in that life? Who provided for you in that life? The prodigal son comes to mind when I think of that scenario. Right? All he wanted was what was his, because he wanted to go do what he wanted to do, and he takes off, and the father lets him. Why? Because the father loves the son. But eventually the prodigal son had to come to his own mind, right? Listen, I choose to walk worthy, or to try anyway, to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is a great God. And he has the preeminence. And I have a lot of other things that I do besides being a pastor and reading the Bible. I really don't go home all week long and stick my nose in the Bible and just stay there all week. Right? Occasionally I get out on the four-wheeler and get thrown off. But no matter what's going on in life, the Lord Jesus Christ has the preeminence. Right? I owe everything I have, everything I am, to the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not be much, but what it is, I owe to him. I think I told you the story. I even got meritoriously promoted in boot camp to PFC. Yes. And the drill instructors told us you had to hold a position in order to be considered to be promoted to boot camp. Guess what I was? I was the lay leader. I marched the Marines to church on Sunday morning in boot camp. I got promoted in boot camp, meritoriously promoted because of God. That's awesome. I owe everything I have to him. He is the preeminence. That's why I choose to walk with him. Finally, wrap things up here. I need to get going. Where is that walk going? Talked about what it was. We talked about why I chose it. But where is that walk going? Colossians 1:22 says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Take a look at Colossians 1:20, if you will. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. When you got saved, you got reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to do what? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, sometimes people get a little confused about the next verse, verse 23. Please take a look at it. If ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Some people read verse 23, and they read salvation into that verse. And then they realize, I can't live up to all those expectations, and they think to themselves, oh great, I blew it, I'm not saved anymore. Because I'm not grounded and settled, because I have moved away, and so therefore I must not have that salvation. They begin to see their own failures and think, oh great, I haven't continued. But the whole point of that passage, folks, is not salvation. It is the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 22, to present you, it says. In verse 22, it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you, what? Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Where are you going to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ? Right. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. When this thing is all said and done, judgment seat of Christ. Jude says this. Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You're going to be presented faultless. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we must all appear where? Before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. What are we talking about here? Where is this walk going? This walk is designed to take you to the judgment seat of Christ. And at that judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be presented with rewards or lose rewards based upon the good and the bad. It's not a judgment of salvation. It's a judgment of your walk. It's a judgment of whether you walked worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be people that show up at the judgment seat of Christ with a lot of good things they've done. And a lot of people that show up at the judgment seat of Christ with a whole bunch of bad things they've done, and probably very few good things. But yet they're still saved. Amen? Amen? They're still saved. What is this judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is where this worthy walk is headed. I know how to walk worthy, right? Be pleasing, fruitful, knowledgeable, obey, right? I've chosen to try to walk worthy. I know why, because he has the preeminence. Where's all this going and why bother doing it? Well, because one of these days we're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to be judged on my walk at the judgment seat of Christ. My sins are already taken care of when I got saved. But I'm going to be judged for my walk and what kind of walk I walked for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the things I'm going to be judged at are going to be good. Some of them are going to be bad. Yeah, you know, I've heard people say a lot of times, well, I hope my good outweighs my bad. I do too at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not going to get me to heaven, but I hope it turns out that way at the judgment seat of Christ. I know, and how do you know that, you know, that's the case? Well, take a look down in verse 28 and 29. Verse 28 and 29. Well, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Where does that happen? At the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, you and I go up there and we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we're presented before him and we're judged on our walk. And at that point in time, ladies and gentlemen, you know what you're going to want? You're going to want to have lived a life on this earth where you walked worthy of the Lord. All right? You say, what's the point? Why even bother? Why? What is the big deal? Why? You know, I've got so many other responsibilities and things I've got to do in life. All I'm telling you is this. One of these days, if you're saved, if you're born again, one of these days you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and at that point in time, you're judged not on your sins. Your sins were already forgiven back on the cross. Amen. Your sins were forgiven when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord took every single one of your sins, past, present, and future, and threw them as far as the east is from the west, and he said he'd remember them no more. You're not going to be judged on your sins, i.e. to go to heaven or hell. Anymore. That judgment's already over for you, Christians. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you know what the Lord's interested in? Just what kind of walk did you have as a Christian? What did you do? Did you try to please him? Did you try to bear fruit for him? Did you try to increase in knowledge of him? Right? That's what this whole thing is leading to, and the whole context in this passage heading towards the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, the worthy walk that Paul speaks of in Colossians is a walk that is intended to get you to the judgment seat of Christ. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable.
Amen.
You say, I can't live up to that standard. Well, the more worthy you walk, the closer you're going to get. Amen? The less worthy you walk, the more bad you're going to have at the judgment seat of Christ, and the less good you're going to have. Paul said this in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And then he said this about himself in verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen, said this, I want to present each and every one of you at the judgment seat of Christ, holy, unreprovable, blameless in his sight. And he said, you know what? I keep working at that too. Amen? The Apostle Paul is still working on having a worthy walk. And you and I as Christians, you know what we need? We just need to strive to have a worthy walk.
Amen.
Why? Because one day we'll see our Lord and Savior at the judgment seat of Christ, and I want to have at least some good to give Him. Amen? It doesn't mean I can't take care of things in this life. It doesn't mean I can't enjoy things in this life. But it means the Lord Jesus Christ should have the preeminence.
Amen.
I should honor Him as a father that loved me and did as much as that father did for me. I know not everybody had a perfect father, earthly speaking. But heavenly speaking, we have a perfect father.
Amen.
And I deserve, and he deserves for me to walk worthy of him. A worthy walk. We've talked about what that walk was. We talked about why I chose that walk. And we talked about where that walk is going. And I would just ask you this in closing. What fits your busy schedule better? Exercising 1 hour a day? Let's say walking 1 hour a day? Or being dead 24 hours a day? We got time to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Let's take advantage of it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for a chance to be here on a Sunday morning. You are a great, a mighty, and a holy God. And Father, you deserve to have us strive the best we can to walk worthy of you. And I know that we're sinful men and that none of us are ever going to achieve perfection. But Lord, you certainly gave us a target. We can certainly learn to be obedient. We can certainly choose to walk the walk. And Father, we can certainly realize where that walk is going and strive our best to serve a God that loved us, that created us, that is all-powerful, and that gave himself for us. Father, we can choose to serve that God. So I pray that you'd help us to walk worthy. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.